I'm trying to. Can't remember things.
Okay. I hear you there. Okay. Oh, sorry. Just want to say something. Keep it in your brain. Keep it in your brain. Okay. I just want to make sure you keep it in the brain. Okay. But if we can get this podcast and that Pokemon Go video out at the same time, that might be nice.
I'll try.
Just saying to ride the hype wave. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, it's June 2018. Pretend it's June 2018, and there's lots of new Pokemon news to talk about. Pokemon Go, Pokemon Let's Go, Pokemon Sword and Shield, Pokemon Quest?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Vank.
So, how you doing?
Not great, actually. So I was all like feeling clever and stuff, and it's like, hey, I finally rediscovered Pokemon Go. Isn't this wonderful?
Yeah.
And then I was gonna be all like, hey, next time we do a podcast, it'll be my future retro because I got the Pokemon Go Plus I got from Phil Bond and all the great times I've been having with it. Good stuff, right? And then Nintendo decides that it wants to announce a game in part based on Pokemon Go. And now we're going to look like we're trying to just, you know, shill for listens or whatever. Like we're making me look bad. But no. I swear I thought of this beforehand.
That is so hipster of you. Like, yeah, I liked Pokemon Go before Nintendo made it cool. Come on, Pokemon Go is like one of the biggest things in the whole world. If anything, we're late to the party. So
we're super late to the party.
But I guess we're early for the early for the after party.
Sure.
Man, we're the worst kind of guests. We came late to the party, but we're way early for the after party. Just kind of sitting there.
Okay.
Anyway, Pokemon Go is something that, like, I will actively play for a week every couple of months.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
You know? Sure. And that's how I was. But now things have changed. I don't want to go too much into detail because I do want it to still be my future retro. But things have changed for me. And that's how I was before.
Okay. But I mean, I love the concept of Pokemon Go, but it's just there needs to be more to it, and
there is.
Yeah, and so, well, okay, let's should we go right into it?
Sure. Did you know that we have a brand new way to support the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast and videos? Pledge today and spring into action with us for the rest of 2019 with previews of new videos, and we'll read your handle of choice with every new audio or video episode we make. You might get a t-shirt. In fact, we have 4 patrons who have already earned one, and 3 more who will be eligible next month. Becoming a Dojo Disciple is also the cheapest way to get a Season 1 DVD plus a bunch of other Patreon-exclusive perks. Like, you can join our new Discord server today and help us choose the next shirt design. And you might even get one! We'd like to thank our brand new Patreon supporters for the month of August 2019, Jodie A. Cornelius, Noscap, Paul Spicknall, Daniel Hathcock, Lena, and David Lang. You might get a t-shirt supporter, Alberto Vera, who definitely will get a t-shirt now, and our ongoing Dojo Disciple tier patrons, Alana Dunitz, Brady Cashin, Chris Berkland, Colin Swinborne, Earl Grey III, and Psycho Lavos, aka Tristan. We also have followers. I didn't even know that was a thing. Even if I didn't read your name, your support is better than an ad, and we couldn't do this without all of you. We certainly wouldn't be resurrecting lost and unreleased episodes of the podcast like this one if you hadn't told us this was exactly what you wanted. So if you like this episode and want to hear more like it, you know what to do. Head over to patreon.com/famicomdojo and sign up today. The next batch of DVDs will go out after Labor Day, and I'll be contacting our You Might Get a T-Shirt supporters for your sizes to get your rewards out. And hey, join our Discord. You don't even need the pledge, and we'd love to hear from you. Check out our show notes for the invite, and we hope to chat with you soon.
Okay, so there were some announcements made, I guess, as we're recording this, a few days ago, but when it comes out, I guess we can say last week.
Sure.
But there were three big announcements, and I think the biggest one, of course, is the two Switch games.
Wait.
Which are... Yeah.
There were three announcements, you're saying?
Three announcements, yes.
But there was more than just those games?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to hear about the other two announcements first? Maybe we get those out of the way and then.
Yeah.
I think the thing we hinted at the beginning is probably the meat of our conversation.
Sure.
Okay. So the first one is the next one in Nintendo's growing line of smartphone properties, and this is called Pokemon Quest. But here's what's interesting about it. Is it's also available on the Switch. In fact, it's on the Switch right now. You could play it right now. It's a free-to-play game. Free-to-start game, I think, is probably a more accurate description. But it's basically if Pokemon and Minecraft had a baby.
That's
with soft edges. Ah, do you know the art style for like Crossy Road?
No. Is that like Flappy Bird?
Sure. I mean, in the fact that they both take classic video game properties and poop all over them. Yes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
So Flappy Bird is kind of the... Actually, Flappy Bird just uses like some Mario assets, but I guess it's its own original game. But basically,
right.
Crossy Road is like randomly generated endless Frogger.
Oh.
You know what? It's not that bad. I mean, it's in the way that Frogger is fun, it's fun, but like it's such like a microtransaction bonanza because there's so many characters to unlock and different skins. But the art style is basically like block characters, but the blocks are smooth.
Okay.
Okay. You've seen the movie Up, right?
Oh, don't make me cry. Yes.
You know the old man's face?
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about. Kind of like blocky, but not, you know, cubey, but not like sharp edges.
Okay.
You know. Okay.
Sure.
Are we together? Anyway, that's what this one looks like, and I haven't played it much, but it looks to be, basically, the type of game that's really good on a smartphone, like short burst, like. Go to this island of Pokemon and, like, collect data, blah, 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 blah. Pokemon Quest.
So but you're saying it's also on the Switch, though?
It is on the Switch. In fact, right now it's only on the Switch.
Oh.
The smartphone version launches later, which I think is a very interesting way of doing it.
Sure. Are they connected somehow?
I believe they will be, yes. I mean, because... If the thing we're going to talk about later is any indication, Nintendo really wants their smartphone properties and their Switch properties to be connected.
Okay.
So anyway, that was the one. And the other one is, I think, the damage control announcement.
The damage control? Okay.
Okay, well, I mean... Okay, we haven't talked about what the big announcement is yet, but I will say that the big announcement was not overwhelmingly received positively.
Oh, that's surprising to me.
Are you really surprised that people on the internet are feeling entitled about something? Because
if so, we
need a whole other topic. But anyway,
all right.
That
will go into my discussion later, the whole entitlement.
But, I mean, thing. I can definitely see that some people would be disappointed because it's a very different style of game. Again, we'll get into that later. But
okay.
So their other announcement is that in 2019, there will be a traditional Pokemon RPG game in the way of like Sun, Moon, XY, Red, Blue, you know.
So you're saying that this other game is not that, which I suspected, but this is pure confirmation now. Okay.
But what they're saying is, like, if you don't like what we're doing now, we've still got the standard thing in the pipeline. So don't.
Okay. And for the Switch.
And for the Switch, yes. It's for
and
the Switch.
And that's in 2019, I've been hearing.
A 2019 title, probably the end of 2019. But, you know, they've been working on it. Because, do you remember their first damage control thing? They did that Pokemon Direct, and everyone was like, Pokemon Stars for Switch! Pokemon Switch! Pokemon Switch! Here's Ultra Sun and Moon for the 3DS. And the Switch, you get a Pokken port! And everyone was like, "Urgh!" So, like, a few weeks later, right for their E3 thing, they put on the Game Freak guy, and he's like, we're making a Switch Pokemon game. It'll be a mainline game. You know, so it calmed everyone down because everyone's like, because basically the internet can be summed up with the sound of keystrokes followed by,
that sounds about right. I've been to the internet before. That's pretty accurate.
But anyway, I was upset at the time too, because I was
really,
I mean, not that upset, not so upset that you know that I was upset, but maybe disappointed is a better word, because sure. I thought it would be the Pokemon Switch, and I'm so over the 3DS right now.
Oh, sure.
Oh, for the next couple of years. Then I'll be into it again, because that's how I work. because it's right now neither the new hotness nor retro.
Not yet.
Exactly. But when it becomes retro, I'll suddenly start collecting for it and being like, man, the 3DS, there's so many great games. Why did I never buy this? Because I'm a deeply broken individual.
Goodness.
But anyway, getting back to the topic at hand. So that's coming. So that will please the people who are into the traditional experience. But it sounds to me like that's not the one you're hyped about right now.
Yeah, I was hyped for Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. Actually, I almost called it Hey You Pikachu, which is a completely different game and a much older console.
Yep. So tell us about this. I've talked enough right now.
Well, I mean, the only thing I know about it, and I didn't realize there had been more since, so it shows what I know, probably because I've been playing so much Pokemon Go lately, that they're bringing this Switch game, which looks like it has some of the overworld elements of the mainline titles, as people have been putting it. And then it has, you know, the play capture mechanic of Pokemon Go, which implies right there they are compatible with each other, and then has been since confirmed that yes, you can indeed trade between these games. And actually,
Not completely. Because Pokemon Go has moved past the original 151.
Right.
So you can only trade with the 151 because, and this is an important detail, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, whatever, and Let's Go Eevee? Gaiden? Okay. Anyway.
Tengen?
Anyway, is what it is it's not a remake, but a reimagining of Pokemon Yellow.
Okay.
Yes. You know, the Pikachu version of you know, the original, you know, first generation Pokemon.
Sure, sure.
And so it's including those, which is another reason some people are fuming right now, because it they feel that it's going, you know, they're trying to appeal just to for a nostalgia kick. Mm-hmm. But you know what? 151 is about what I can take, and it leads Nintendo to be able to make sequels to it if it goes well. You know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah. I can't imagine it would be something like Pokemon Go where they keep adding in new features and whatever because there's all the whatever, the storefront and stuff. So, but, like, unless they were making a Pokemon Go for the Switch, which is what it seemed kind of like.
Yeah, but different though, different low. It's a reimagining of Yellow. It has the same map, so it has a very large overworld map, everything done in 3D. And of course, some people were complaining that it does that it looks like an up-resed 3DS game, but I don't think many people buy Pokemon for its cutting edge visuals. You know what I mean? It's I mean if you are, you're doing it wrong.
I saw some article that I mean, it wasn't terribly well written, but like use words like casualized. Apparently in response to that that damage control you mentioned before. That, you know, this is a real-ish Pokemon game, but the realer one is coming later. But because, whatever.
Because if there's anything that Pokemon's always represented to me, it's a deeply hardcore franchise with an older, mature demographic. I mean, come on! It's Pokemon! It's a giant... It's a metallic rat that goes... Ka-choo! You know, am I, maybe, you know what? I don't even know. But like, there, I mean, it's, there's definitely people who are adults right now who have grown up playing Pokemon. And there are definitely people who take it very seriously. There are people who do tournaments. There are people who, you know, really do play it in a hardcore type of way, but the basic of Pokemon is it's that game you picked up as a kid as a first RPG,
right?
You know, as something to casually play with your friends after school at the park, you know, to trade, and that's the audience. And I don't think in this way this game is any different from the concept that the first game was going for,
right? Makes perfect sense to me.
Maybe it's different from the concept of the later games. You know what I mean?
Which I haven't played. And I'll get to, again, that, to that later.
Yeah. But yes, maybe it will be the game that brings people back with nostalgia. But I don't think that new players are going to reject it either, though. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Continue with your thing.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to say anything, really, because I wanted to save most of it for the... for the Pokemon Go discussion.
Okay. So, but anyway, yeah, it definitely looks somewhat casualized, but it's casualizing.
Casualized.
It's casualizing a casual title. You know what
Ooh,
I mean?
Ooh, shots fired.
It's a cat. Come on. How is Pokemon not a casual title? I mean,
oh, dude.
You can't. Here, I'll give you your shots. I'll give you your shots. You know what else is a casual title? Grand Theft Auto. You know what else is a casual title? Call of Duty. These are games that people who normally who don't play many other video games play. You know, yes, they're played by a hardcore base. There's a modding community. There's all kinds of people who play it very seriously. But it's also the game that if you buy the console, you buy that game with it. It's not some kind of niche. They're designed in a way to bring in new players to, you know, to be easy to pick up and play, that get deeper later on. And what is wrong with something being casual?
Nothing.
You know?
Nothing.
I don't understand this or whatever. I remember, like, you know, like, I'm to be a mainstream success means they must be doing something right.
Right. Absolutely.
Or they've tricked the masses.
Well, you know.
I'm looking at you, all culture.
Big video game is just in it for...
I like big video games. I mean, there's definitely big video game. You know.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah. EA. Cough. 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 When's Anthem coming out again?
You know what? I don't even care. Wow. I'm firing shots left and right.
I know.
For the five of you still listening, I'm sorry. I think that's the thing, though. Like, if people like those type of experiences, all the more power to them.
Sure.
And that's what's so amazing about the hobby that we're in right now, is that it offers things for so many different people. But I'll tell you one target audience who's hyped for this new Pokemon. my kids.
Oh, yeah. I haven't told mine yet, but... Mm-hmm.
Because they like Pokemon. They like Pokemon Go, but they don't have a smartphone. I'm not giving them a smartphone.
Right.
And I don't want them using mine. But they love the concept of catching Pokemon that way. And it's hard for my 5-year-old to figure out the battle mechanics of a standard mm-hmm. Pokemon. Mm-hmm. But Sarah's getting into Pokemon now. She's playing Sun. But my 5-year-old, she can't figure out how the RPG elements, but like she'd have a blast walking around just trying to catch Pokemon. And you know what? I'm buying that stupid controller.
Oh, of course. Ditto.
Can we talk about the stupid controller?
We can talk about the stupid controller.
Okay.
So
this thing's expensive.
How much
stupid
is it?
Looks dumb. It's like $50.
Oh my God. Really?
Actually, that's not so bad. Cause like, a Joy-Con is $40. You know what I mean? And this has everything that a Joy-Con has except for controllability.
except for more than one button.
Well, basically, this thing is one button, and it's got all the gyroscope features. Mm. It's got an analog stick. That button is an analog stick.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So you can control the whole game from this with this joystick. It's not just for capturing.
Oh, I didn't
realize. You can play the whole game between motion, that analog, and the button.
Okay.
So, you know, you can select options on the menu, you can blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of cool that it has a speaker as well. So, like, if you've captured a Pokemon, the HD rumble, which it has, right. makes it feel like that Pokemon's actually in there.
Oh, weird.
And like you can shake it up and kind of annoy the Pokemon and it'll talk, you know.
That's a little creepy actually.
And like it has enough memory to store the different voices of whatever Pokemon you have in the ball. So like there's a significant amount of tech in this little thing. But it's still stupid.
I mean,
it's stupid, but like I can see it being a hit.
Right.
Because it's going to be so much more fun to play the game with actually being able to flick that Pokeball at it, and feel that it shake as you're wondering if the Pokemon's going to be caught or not, mm-hmm. to hear the click from a physical object as catch it.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's Samba Maracas is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's overly expensive. It's stupid. It works with one game, but it's the better way to do it.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And it's actually cheaper than the Samba Maracas. So
yes. Yes, it is. And it potentially will work with more than one game.
Oh, geez. You know what I just realized?
What?
If I want to play co-op, I got to buy two of those damn things. Well, maybe not. Maybe you can. Maybe
no,
you
I
can...
mean you can use a standard controller as well. You can use a standard controller.
Okay, all right.
But if you want to play fun co-op,
right? I was going to say you have kids. You know better.
Oh yeah.
It's like I want the Pokeball. Well, you can't have it.
Okay, so
we're gonna first.
We're gonna play together now. Now, which of my kids do I love more today? Who gets the Pokeball controller and who gets the Joy-Con that's covered in chocolate? By the way, I got another set of Joy-Cons right now that the kids are not allowed to use. So the ones that they are allowed to use are really getting lousy.
Oh no.
You know. But anyway.
This is gonna make me like seem like a hypocrite now because I had this whole spiel about I'll just get to it later, but I'm having feelings about this ball. Now, maybe I'll address them in future retro.
All right, I'm looking forward to hearing about your ball feelings.
Well, at least I'm not out of them anymore.
All right. Anyway, but yeah, exciting, exciting. So, what surprised me a little bit is that Nintendo kind of announced these things out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
They gave a day's notice, and because everyone thought they were going to save this to be their big E3 announcement, you know, I mean, because clearly they're going to say something about Smash because it's supposed to come out this year. But beyond that, people thought that E3 was going to be Pokemon announcement, Smash announcement, and maybe Metroid, you know?
Sure.
But now, I wonder, because they're getting that out of the way. They got they tried to get the negative stuff from their Nintendo Network stuff out of the way as well.
What negative stuff's that?
Okay.
I don't know anything.
Let me explain the internet to you again. Okay. Do you know what their online plans are?
My Resetera account has been approved, but I haven't been back since.
All right. Okay. But do you know what their online plans are?
They're gonna charge you $20 a month. I think like something like was it
$20
like
a year? $20 a year.
Sorry, $20 a year. Something like 50 for a family account. Some 30.
It's,
I don't know.
35 for a family account.
Okay. I probably end up getting that.
Me
kids
too,
like playing
because
Splatoon.
Yep, exactly. My daughter wouldn't like it if I. Well, my problem a little bit is with it. My only gripe is that. Well, I mean, my initial gripe is I'd rather it was free.
right.
But I mean, you know, I'd rather it was free. I would like a lot of people are like Nintendo needs to get to up their game. They need to make it like Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus. And I'm like, nah, they can keep it exactly how it is if it stays free.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, but the my gripe is that I have two accounts. I have a Japanese account and an American account. So only one of them will be able to be played online unless I buy two accounts. But almost all the stuff I do, I use with my American account anyway, because most Japanese games that I'm going to be playing online have the English in it already. Even if I buy Japanese region stuff, I can probably still use my American account because usually the game is exactly the same. It's just got both versions on it.
Right.
So I'm not too worried about that. But I mean, you know, if there was a cool game that I wanted to play from a Japanese account in the future, you know, I don't know. That's one gripe I have with it, but like I know that I'm a rare situation there, so that's not going to affect too many people. And for me, like I got three kids who are all going to probably be having their own accounts in the future, so the family plan, super good deal.
Right.
Because if they get their own Switches in the future, it's not linked to one console either.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
So they could, you know, if they were playing with like a PlayStation or Xbox Live, each individual console needs its own account, you know.
Is that true? I thought it was tied to your user ID.
Yeah, but only one can be used at once.
Okay.
I could
think that's
be wrong.
Right.
No, you could use one account.
Well,
over multiple accounts.
Maybe I'm thinking of PlayStation, but I thought that there was that there was some kind of family option. But
I mean, there's definitely like you can have as many users as you want on one console.
Right.
But having a separate account. Like multiple accounts on multiple consoles.
I could
own four PlayStation 4s and I could have my account be on all four of them.
Right.
But I couldn't have mine and my daughter's separate accounts be on them. Or maybe not.
I don't know.
Please correct me if I am wrong, internet.
Because they will.
Yes, I know. Anyway, regardless of the thing, it seems like a fairly good deal, but like a lot of people are very upset that that cloud saves are only available with the paid account.
Okay, yeah, I did hear about the cloud saves, but didn't realize it was part of the... Well, I mean, sure, like why? What's their incentive to do that otherwise?
Well, I mean, I think the bigger issue, I mean, or at least the issue people are making of it is that the only way of backing up data is with a paid option because they can't back it up to an SD card. They can't transfer it to a computer. So it's either pay for it or have no data backup option.
Okay, that is a little frustrating.
I get that. But for me, I don't know. Like $20 or $35 a year is not a lot of money.
Well, here's the thing. All right,
How much I spend on gaming? I don't know.
Let's put in our Famicom Dojo, you know, replayability of games in the future hat, and realize that once this paid option goes away, there are no options.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, the thing is, I'm not one who cares about saves so much. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I've got my saves on my old Final Fantasy games and stuff, but if I pull those games out right now, I'm going to make a fresh file.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, maybe for Pokemon I can see. Because Pokemon represents a lot of, you know, effort.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to keep the ones you have. But like a story-driven game, I don't... If I were to have lost my save, I don't care. I don't know. I say that now.
Right.
But like, I don't know. Basically, if I'm going to complete a game, I usually kind of complete it in one sitting. Do you know what I mean? Sure, I mean, well, not one sitting, but like within an amount of... I say this now, but like if I lost my Zelda save, I would be very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What scares me more is non-replaceable batteries. That terrifies me for the future.
Oh, sure.
Much more than my saves.
Sure.
Much more worried about the hardware itself not being playable than whether I can pick up where I left off.
Right.
Yeah. Terrified. Terrified. terrified that all my old electronics are going to pudge up and explode. So.
Well, I mean, you know, it's happened to 3DS batteries and the like before. So.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. Terrified. But best not to dwell on that. So, but anyway, another thing they're complaining about is apparently you get like 20 classic titles in a kind of like Netflix-ish system of having titles available, which they say they're going to add on to. Now, that to me... I don't care.
Yeah, I have these like, games 20 times already.
I don't care so far. I don't care about the subscription-based balloon fight.
Oh, like, sure.
Not even a little. However, if it opens the door to eventually some of the games, like perhaps an emulated GameCube game, enters the service or something like that,
okay.
Then I'm interested again. And you know what? It would be nice to have them on the Switch in an easily accessible way. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you know, it depends what they have. It depends what they have. If they have, I do like that they're going to have online two-player modes, though. You know what I mean? So, sure. Like, but it's going to need some titles that I care about. Because I'm not going to call you up and be like, hey, Sean, hop online. I'm feeling the need for some two-player Urban Champion.
Right.
Does that even have two-player?
I don't even
know. Oh, my gosh. Like, I've put it in several times, and I've never played it for more than a couple of minutes. It's just not... I mean, I've got it. Of course I've got it. I think I have 3 copies of it.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have deep, deep problems. I was thinking of selling one of my Super Game Boy 2s.
You know, How many do you have now?
Because I'm looking for money for my America trip, obviously. Mm. So I was thinking of it, and this is the voice in my head, and just please tell me this isn't totally crazy. Because I thought I could sell one. And then the sudden panic came to me of, but then I'd only have 3. That's not a rational thing to be thinking. That is, I still have this. I still have this dream that I'm going to do a video with hooking up four of them together to play some of the four-player games.
Right, right. Do it.
But I've already been beat to it because Jeremy Parrish, he's doing 16-player Faceball.
Oh.
But not all with TVs. Some of them are just Game Boys. So I mean, there's still a play. But I'm not going to get 16 TVs. This is not really going to happen. And I only have three Super Famicoms. Oh my gosh, I have a problem, Sean. I really have a problem. I have three Super Famicoms.
Yeah, you need one more. That's the problem.
You're right. It's not a problem if I can find a solution. Oh man, I've got. You know, I've got two Dreamcasts. I've got three Sega Saturns.
Good Lord, okay.
Because anything with a laser, you never know. You never know. What if my current one breaks? I need that backup. I have two GameCubes.
Sure.
I downsized a little bit. I'm down to only one PCFX. But it's making me nervous.
Oh God.
I got two 3DOs. Uh-huh. That's important. But I was going to stay with one 3DO, but one of mine broke, and instead of just replacing it, I bought two.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I just realized with horror that I only have one Sega CD.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You better get a couple of those.
I know. I don't have the Model 2 yet, so.
I have five different devices that can play Famicom Disk System games. I've got three twin Famicoms and two just like disk drives. Yeah, if the rubber bands break on four of them, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know that's going to happen.
It is going to happen because it's one of those inevitable things. Oh my gosh, I'm giving myself a panic attack right now. Anyway.
Well, let's change the subject.
Yes, let's go back to...
Well, let's talk about Pile of Shame Future Retro, because I think people are chomping in the bed to hear it.
They are. But first, a little music.
Okay.
Teaching English at an elementary school. The students think I'm really cool. But there's just one thing wrong. I don't know the names of all the Pokemon. There's a million of these little dudes. The kids taught them to me after school. These are all the Pokemon I know. There's Pikachu! And Rizardo! And that blue one! And the one that's shaped like the moon! There's that guy made of dirt, and one that's like a plant or something, and the green guy who looks like my dad. Don't forget, you know, that guy. Pokemon, all the Pokemon I know. All the Pokemon. and I still don't.
Okay, so Sean, I know you're putting the song in a post. What was our selection for this podcast?
Oh, All the Pokemon I Know by Leet Band. Very appropriate given all the news. What?
Now nobody's listening anymore. That is such a terrible song.
It's a wonderful song and an even better video. So if you have not watched that thing already, now is the time.
Yeah, I have to give my dad royalties for that song.
That one really does look like your dad, though.
It does look like my dad. It really does look like my dad. If you don't know what we're talking about, you know, that's a link in the show notes.
All right.
So let's talk about our future retros or pile of shame.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing and try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. What do you got today, a Pile of Shame or a Future Retro?
Well, if anyone listened to the earlier part of the show, I have a Future Retro.
All right.
So going back a bit, I teased this on the previous episode, but when I visited Phil Bond last before our No Brand Con live show, he bequeathed me one of two Pokemon Go Plus devices that he had. He wasn't able to locate it, purchased another one, and gave me his old beat-up one when he found it.
But now he has only one. Is he going to be okay?
Oh, God.
What if it breaks? He better get a couple.
Exactly.
More.
He already got a duplicate, right? Okay. But now he gave it to me because it's incredibly important to him that I finally stop talking smack about this game and actually play it. Because you know the times when I did play it was when like the servers were not doing so hot,
I
think when they released Generation 2, and then everyone jumped down again and it was just glitchy as heck. And I was like, forget this. And he's like, no, this game's actually really stable. It's just all the noobs. You know, it's like New Year's resolutions, right? You go to the gym.
It's all those casuals.
There's no one there. It's all those casuals. So I got this Pokemon Go Plus, and I never would have bought this thing on my own. But now I think I have seen the error of my ways. And let me explain why I would not have ever spent money on this before now.
Oh, I know exactly why you wouldn't. The same reason I don't have one, because it looks useless.
Well, all right. This is what it does. Okay. It's got just the one button on it. So that's why I assumed that this $50 Pokeball debacle was the same thing. But its main purpose is the number one thing it does for you is that Pokemon Go is able to run in the background without being active all the time, which is great for me because I can turn it on and jog and like hatch some eggs that way. But its primary purpose is to allow you to push the button when you're by a Pokestop and also when there are Pokemon nearby. The way that you are able to tell which is which is that it buzzes at you. So not HG Rumble, of course, but rumbly rumble. And there's multicolored diodes in there. So two flashes for blue is a Pokestop or a nearby gym, which you can click to essentially spin it. Green is the typical one you'll do where it'll just kind of buzz at you three times and then sit there. Then you push the button and then it'll flash white at you three times, up to three times. And if you have caught the Pokemon at the end of three times, it's kind of mimics, the three little jiggles the ball does,
but like so you don't know what you're catching.
You don't know what you're catching, except that if it's one you haven't caught before, it'll buzz yellow at you, like three times. And I have never caught anything that way so far. but from what I understand, it's supposed to be like a 50-50 shot. Like if it's green and you click it, your 50-50 shot, you'll actually capture whatever it is. So it doesn't matter what level it is, doesn't matter what kind it is, doesn't matter, you know, you can't use any barriers and stuff on it. But if you're just grinding to, you know, get stuff, get candies, get just get Stardust or whatever, It's very useful. So my primary use for it is to have the game on in the background without it being on.
But like, I mean, okay. I can see how that might be helpful, but like, if you're already kind of low on Pokeballs and stuff like that, isn't that just going to waste your stuff off garbage Pokemon?
That is the trade-off. So it only works on regular Pokeballs, which conveniently are the only kind you can buy from the store.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't use it all that often. Like a lot of the time, you know, if I'm capturing stuff, a lot of the time I'm actively, like, interacting with it, especially because I'm strategizing now and, like, planning to evolve things and work with stuff
exactly.
in a way that I never had before. So, no, but it's there for these other purposes. But because of this, I have changed my mind about its utility and why I never would have spent money on it before. And that is my main thing was I wouldn't spend money on this game in the first place.
Okay.
Like I wouldn't go to the store, exchange for coins and use those coins to buy things, especially because there's not a lot of stuff in the stores I find useful.
Yeah. And now?
Well, because this game is free and because I'm interested in playing it, you know, and I want to make the experience better, I don't feel it's fair to, let me rephrase that. If I really like this game that much, I should spend something on it. For as much as I've played it, for as much as I think I'm going to get value out of it in the future, I should spend something on it. And, you know, part of what made me not want to spend money on this was because, oh, well, you know, they're just sealing off an inherent part of iPhone functionality that you know, you don't have to buy a separate thing for, but they're going to, you know, kind of like YouTube Red, like you can't play YouTube stuff in the background unless you pay for YouTube Red. Like they're sealing off something
exactly.
that the phone can do by itself.
Yeah.
But I can't.
So how much are you spending on Pokemon Go?
I nothing so far. Nothing. I still have spent nothing on this game.
Oh. Then no problem.
they've changed the gym system.
Yeah.
Let me back up a second.
Go ahead.
So primarily what has made me enjoy this game more is that there is more for it. There is more you can actually accomplish now. They have research items, which they didn't used to have. So there's actually like a goal in the game. So it was kind of like No Man's Sky before where it's like, well, it's nice. There's some basic mechanics and it's kind of interesting, but I'm bored now.
Exactly.
Less the case. A long time ago, they redid the gym system so that things would change over more quickly and you can... it's more fun, right?
And
I'm able to solo... At this point, at level 25, a lot of stuff, which is nice. But they've added these goals. So there's legendary research and there's regular field research that you can do, and it's basically just playing the game. So you know, hatch so many eggs, or go capture this kind of Pokemon. Three great throws or whatever it is, and man.
Yeah.
You know, when I have to do a great throw for a goal, all of a sudden I can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
But you know, and you get stuff every time you achieve something. You get a thing for that particular goal. But then you know you get a research stamp for the field research, and you get 7 of these stamps to unlock a legendary Pokemon for the month. So I got 3 Zapdos for the month of May. I was able to do it for 3 weeks straight, more or less 3 weeks straight. And
not entirely sure what that is, but it sounds like a pretty good thing.
You can't just capture one of these things out in the wild. This is the only way to do it.
Okay.
And like in the core games, I'm sure that there are like very specific encounters you would have, and it wouldn't just be like willy-nilly. Oh, look. And then there's this other one going ongoing research for a chance to capture Mew.
Okay.
So that kind of brings in a bit of the flavor of those original games, having a goal, having something that you can do and work towards that, you know, not purely random encounters and fighting gym battles and whatever else. So now it has more value for me, and there are all these goals, and I'm learning more about how to use berries and plant evolutions and then using the subsequent gains for fighting in gyms. And having the Pokemon Go Plus is incredibly helpful. And getting a leg up on whatever the Switch title is going to be, very interested in doing it. Now, that Pokeball, though, what upsets me, it's like, okay, I'm paying for this game up front.
Yeah.
Already. It's probably going to be like a $50 game, right?
Yeah, probably. I would assume so. Maybe 60. Yeah.
Maybe 60. And... yeah, probably 60. So probably it's like, 50. If I'm doing that, why am I spending another $50 on a controller?
Well, you don't
it
have to, though.
Makes you. Of course, I'm going to.
And that's why they do it.
Anyway. So that's where I'm at. Pokemon Go, pretty cool. Really into it. I've been playing it for like a month straight, daily, without fail. Which has never happened before.
I'm hoping they have a bundle with this ball to save a little bit of money. Like,
oh,
the pack.
Makes
the
sense.
Pack is like $80 with the ball and the game.
Sure,
I'd buy that.
Yep.
Even ninety.
Oh, dang, son.
If the game's 60 and the ball's 50 by themselves, right. 90 seems a fairly good deal.
Right. All right.
But okay. Here's why I am excited about the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Because it restores the two things that I've never been a big Pokemon player, but the things that would have made me play back in the day are battles and trading.
Okay, sure.
And it brings those back.
Got it.
Like, yep. I don't know how the trading works so far, but I know with the battles, it's not just you fighting a gym. You can actually battle your friends.
Right.
Or, you know, you can go there. Now, you can't battle Pokemon. It's the wild Pokemon are caught, like in Pokemon Go. You don't battle them to weaken them first and then throw the balls. And that's one of the things people are very upset about.
I forgot that was even a thing. Honestly, I completely forgot.
But not everybody did. But anyway, and that's something that'll be back in Pokemon 2019, whatever. But for me, that was never one of the main draws of the game. But why I stopped playing Pokemon Go is because catching the Pokemon, I didn't feel that even getting legendaries and stuff had any particular value.
Okay.
Because when everyone was playing it and you could show people, look what I got, that had value of just being able to. But like, I don't feel an intrinsic battle, like, wow, I got all these Pokemon I like that I can keep to myself, you know?
Right.
It diminished the value for me of, well, basic of the whole experience, because you couldn't trade them. You couldn't battle them with other people. All you could do was hold on to them, and maybe if you got in line with some people who were doing a raid, you could show them, hey, look at this awesome Pokemon I have for this raid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in general, like, it got rid of one of the core experiences of the collecting of Pokemon in the first place, which was trading them and, you know, using them. And battling other trainers. And it's basically like this is putting that back, and it gives the original Pokemon Go more value now.
Right,
because
exactly.
Now catching those in the game actually has some utility in another game. So this will bring me back into Pokemon Go, and I guess that's the point.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, shareholders have got to be like, Pokemon Go is making so much money. Do you really want to make a Switch game? And they're like, ha ha ha, listen to this.
Right.
This is going to make people play Pokemon Go more.
I feel like, this absolutely is vindicating their strategy.
Yes. Oh, completely. So I don't know. I'm my kids are sold. I still don't know. As I've said, I'm not really a Pokemon player. I played Go for a little while and I moved on. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if this is going to be the one to actually hook me in a more permanent way, enough that I can learn the names of more than 10 of them. That'll be the test. Like, if next year we're having this conversation and I'm throwing names out there like you just did in this conversation,
right.
And we're talking and we actually are speaking the same language, then it worked.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And well, you know, well done, Nintendo. But if I'm still like, and who's that then? then, I don't know, maybe my daughter will chime in and go, Dad, come on, we've told you 1,000 times.
Oh, no.
He uses the power of... I can't even make up words. wave jolt. To interocitor. I don't know. Anyway.
I caught that reference.
Thank you. But, you know, we'll see. But, like, for someone who doesn't have the baggage of expectations from the previous games, this looks pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. My kids are going to like it. And my kids are, like, you know, 6 and under. So yeah. It's like they're not going to be able to play an RPG.
Yeah, exactly.
Only one of them can even read enough to try.
Yeah, but they'll probably play this.
Yeah, absolutely they'll play this. Because they're always asking to play on my phone, and I'm like, we have to go somewhere. And
Sarah plays American games the way I play Japanese games right now.
Yeah.
She's just like, skip. Okay, yeah. Battle! You know?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm doing. It's like Sarah, if she took the time to figure out the words and spent the time slowly reading them, she could probably figure it out just like I could with the Japanese RPG. But for the most part, I'm just like, get to the battles.
Mm.
That's why I prefer to play my RPGs in English because, you know, then I'm going to follow the story more. It's not that Japanese is something I can't do. It's Japanese is something I can't comfortably do well. And when I play video games, I want to relax, not study.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, I still use walkthrough guides when I play the Sakura Wars games.
Oh, goodness.
Because there's moments in it that are almost like quick time events, but with text, you have to make a decision really quick. Mm. And I'm like, what's that kanji? And I'm like looking at it. And I'm like, oh, I guess I decided to kill everyone. Oh, I didn't want that.
Oh, well. You know?
Game over. Give them all sweet cakes. Give them all poison. Which one was the... Oh, no! Yes.
Oh, the kanji are almost the same. It's a pun.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's any shame in that. Like, that's a topic for another podcast, is sure. It is totally possible to play almost any game you want to play that's in a language you don't speak if you know the steps. Maybe that's a video.
Ooh.
If it's not a video, it's definitely a good podcast.
Sure.
Because I was playing Japanese games long before I learned any Japanese.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, between, like, half of the games you can play without knowing any anyway, and then a lot of the remaining games you can play because if they're good enough games that someone's bothered to make a walkthrough, and anything that you can't really play, it's probably not worth playing.
Oh,
like anything that no one's bothered to make a guide for, and that is, you know, that no one has ever localized, it's probably because it's not a good game. There's exceptions, but a lot of them, it's not really worth your time. Anyway, shall we move on to mine, or you got some more to say about?
Yeah, Pokemon? What do you got? Palace Shimmer Future Retro.
This is going to be interesting because I haven't played the full game yet. But just from the demo, I can say My future retro this month is Sushi Striker.
What is Sushi Striker?
Do you? Good or bad? I mean, like, whether you care about it or not, you should have at least heard about it, because it's been mentioned in multiple Nintendo Directs. It's Nintendo's new IP.
Oh.
And there was a big deal of it made, because originally people were like, why is Nintendo even bothering to make this? Because it was a 3DS game.
Sure.
It was, and coming out, you know, this year. And people were like, why is Nintendo wasting their time? And then it got ported, like, now it's coming out simultaneously for the Switch and the 3DS, which sure. makes sense. But still, people are like, Sushi Striker? And it's going to be like $50, and it's a puzzle game. And a lot of people are just like, and me too. I was completely ignoring it. But I knew it was coming out, but I was like, nope, pass, hard pass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a free demo of it, and I'm like, I like things that are free.
Mm-hmm.
I am exceptionally cheap, except when it comes to buying multiple copies of the same hardware. But so I downloaded it, and it's fantastic. It's funny. It's got an overly dramatic story based on a stupid concept, and I love that. It's like, in a world without fish, and like in it, the Great Sushi Wars claimed many lives, or whatever, between those who believed that sushi should be eaten by everyone and those who believed it should be eaten only by a privileged few. It's just so stupid. And there's this, it's, you know what? I'm not going to go and download the demo, because I mean, it has fully animated cutscenes that remind me of, like, you know, the early Pokemon or Dragon Ball, you know, it's got those kind of funny dubs and like, everything's told through these anime cutscenes, whatever, which are hilarious on multiple levels, you know, because it's so over the top as to be just very humorous. And the game itself is one of the better puzzle games I've played recently.
Mm-hmm.
There's four lines of like kaiten sushi, you know, like the conveyor belt sushi,
sure.
and you're matching same plates and same tastes and same types. You know, you've got your dessert sushis, your maki rolls, your regular. So you're chaining combos together these different plates that come through. And then you're throwing the plates at your enemies. And you've also got these sushi sprites who are these basically Pokemon or Yokai Watch type things. They all have special abilities, which you charge up by the amount of sushi you eat. But like, because of that, like, it's not just a puzzle game, because there's upgradability, customizability, and items and things like that. So the demo doesn't go too far into it, although my daughter and I have played through the demo like three times, because one of the cool things is you get to choose, the main character's name is Musashi, and you get to choose at the beginning, is Musashi a boy or a girl? And they redid all these anime cutscenes both ways.
Oh, wow.
Which is something very few games would do. Normally a game would just change, you know, some of the words and have a silent protagonist off screen or something like that.
No,
it's the fully voiced protagonist. They redid each scene, which I think is really cool. But my daughter still chooses to play as the boy character.
Interesting.
Because she thinks he's cooler.
Oh,
and all the more power to her. But I'm so... It's so cool to me that they've got that choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool to me that they've got that choice. But anyway, and I like the fact that, yeah, that my daughter, you know, chooses, you know what, I'll play as a boy character in this one, and I'll play as a girl character in Pokemon, and I'll play,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. But anyway, yeah, it's $50 for a puzzle game, but think about it. I paid $60 for the Super Famicom version of Yoshi's Cookie back in the day, and that's so shallow compared to this.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I want there to be a game, because up until two generations ago, you'd pay full price for a puzzle game, and gladly, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we've gotten to this point where puzzle game equals must be $10 eShop download.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate, because that means that people are going to put low effort into making types of games like that.
Right, right.
Yep. So I'm going to buy it. Nintendo is releasing it in an interesting way. At least it appears so far. The full version's not out, so we can't confirm, but at least as the demo. If you download the demo from the eShop, all the voices are in Japanese, but if your region is set to English, you have English subtitles.
Oh, great.
But if you download the English demo, it's all the voices are in English, but if you set your system to Japanese, the subtitles are in Japanese. It's interesting. So I'm not sure if the full version is going to have multiple voice tracks or if they're going to have that your main game cartridge is locked, the voices of that region, or perhaps a download pack. Right. But in either way, you're getting the full game and you can play it, you know, assuming you can read.
Right.
Depending on whatever, which I think is a very good solution.
I agree.
I think that's very smart because, yeah, the cartridges are limited in size and you can't have every voice on, but you can buy the one from your region and then have the option of, you know,
right.
I don't know. I think that's really cool. So the people who are like, dub only, I want my Japanese voices, they can import it because it's totally region free.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Oh, no.
What?
I figured out Nintendo's insidious plan. I'm probably going to buy both. Because I like both voices. I think the dub's really good, but... And it has maybe the coolest video game opening song ever. Okay. After this podcast, just download it.
Okay.
It's free. And I think this game is going to flop hardcore.
Oh, no.
Because I think most people were like me. We just ignore. And you didn't even know about it.
No, I didn't even know about it.
And you still don't know about it. It's out next week. And you're learning about it right now from me.
Right.
Who also didn't care about it. I think this is going to flop hardcore, which is so unfortunate because it's so much better than they had portrayed it coming forward. The announcement, something I completely ignored. So that's why it's my future retro, because I think this is going to be one of those games in the future that's going to be very expensive,
mm-hmm.
that people are going to be like, hey, lost gem of the Switch and 3DS, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it does well, because I enjoy it, and I think this could be a cool franchise. But signs point to me that this one's going to be a huge flop, part of it's the messaging or whatever, but like, there is no game my daughter's more excited about. She's been playing the demo every single day.
Mm.
And I don't know which version we're going to get yet. She says she likes the dub better, but that means I got to buy it from America. So I don't know. Either way, this game I'm going to get. And show it to your kids. I bet they'd really be into it. And then if you buy it, we can play it online. So.
Okay. Well, you know, but we're here talking about it, and this will come out around its release, and then people will want to at least try out the demo, I would think, and maybe, oh, I just figured out Nintendo's clever plan. They announced that Pokemon game for Switch, because they knew I was playing Pokemon Go, and they knew that would lead you to tell me about all these other cool things that they knew I didn't know about.
Yep, that's because we are influencers.
Oh goodness.
Man. We are not influencers. We can't even influence people to hit that like button.
Oh god. Let's take a little break, come back, and we'll talk about the Spring Dojo. How about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
And now, a haiku. Red white ball in hand. Am I trainer or captor?
Gotta catch 'em all.
Oh goodness. Okay. So for those who don't know, and apparently it's more people than I would like.
Okay.
But we've been putting out videos every weekish. And,
what? We have videos?
Sometimes multiple times a week. We've been putting this podcast in video form.
Yep.
New episodes, and then also a lot of reruns.
Yep.
But Yeah, I put up a poll on Twitter saying, yep. Hey, how you guys liking the spring training 2018? Which I didn't realize entirely when I thought of it that it was a sports ball thing also. But I figured that would just that just meant that we get a lot of people looking for that and being like, oh, video games. That yep. seems interesting to me. Not so much. So, yeah, there are indeed people who have no idea what spring training 2018 is. So now that it's almost summer, I figure it's time to let you know that we have we have like 15 videos, I think, officially in that playlist. I guess it's including the promo, but
we got a couple more in the pipe.
We got a couple more in the pipe, and then we'll be switching over to, you know, we're not done. Like usually, we have like a season like this, and we'd be done for the year. But we're not done. We're gonna switch over into the summer dojo.
And I'm in America this summer, so we're gonna probably film some more of us in the same time zone videos.
Mm-hmm.
So look forward to that.
I'm excited for what's coming up next, but I thought I'd also mention we did one about the NES Classic Edition.
Yep.
And shame on me. Like I've had this thing for since August, and actually the last time you were in the States,
yep.
you even made a cameo at the end of it. So yeah, pretty embarrassing. I didn't get it out sooner, but the nice thing. Though, is that it gave us a little more time to make, I thought, a better follow-up, which just came out in the last week. So if you haven't watched our top 10, what's that?
Yeah, I think it turned out great. I just think it turned out great.
It took a long time, though.
It did. So much that it features Beardvink.
True. So, if you haven't checked it out, we did like a top 10 favorite NES tricks,
yep.
And we went over the ones that we've done in video form before, linked to those, but then ones we've never done before.
Yes.
Including stuff we didn't know about and made as a response,
yes.
to some comments from the original unboxing of the actual physical unit. So that all that gameplay stuff was supposed to be part of the original video, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And it was going to take so long to edit that we just like, all right, we'll break it up into two. And then the more I thought yep. about it, it's like, you know, there's like five or six of these. We should do a full 10. And then yep. ended up doing like 13. But
yes.
Whatever.
Yeah. I think it turned out to be a really good video, and everyone should see it. Can I tease? Can I tease a video here?
Tease a video.
All right. I know not all of you watch them, but some of you are very vocal in your support of the Sarah Plays videos, and we have filmed all the footage for another one. It's going to take a long time to edit because it's a lot of footage, but but I think this one's going to be really fun because it's a game that all of you can play. Like the last two Sarah Plays videos with Momotaro Dentetsu and the Ranma game. Would be very hard to. I mean, it's cool to see Sarah playing it, but it would be hard for you guys to play it on your own unless you spoke Japanese. But the one she's doing right now, I'm not going to say the title because I'd like you to be surprised. But it is a very Japanese game, but it is one that's both inexpensive and playable without knowing Japanese, despite Ooh. The fact that probably none of you have ever heard of it.
All right.
So there's my tease. So stick with us here, and I'd say from when this podcast comes out, I'll get it done before I leave for the States. So because that might be the one we put for the week that I'm in the States, because we're not going to be able to do podcasts or anything. So
yep, that is absolutely true.
So we might schedule it for then. Yep.
All right. Yeah, the last thing I wanted to mention, I didn't really want to make it a Denshi Mail for the podcast because I kind of want to do a video on it now.
Okay.
Nothing very long, but there was a bit of an argument in that latest video about whether or not the 1-to-1 pixel perfect option for the NES Classic
was
fact pixel perfect.
Yeah.
So I just to sort of repeat what I said there is I had a longer explanation of what that entailed recorded.
Yeah.
And I ended up cutting it because I really wanted to get to the tips and tricks. But I had the footage still, so I kind of just threw it on there, and I was trying to demonstrate that if you take footage capture from an NES, you would have to stretch it out and cut off sidebars to make it look the same as the 4x3 option on the NES Classic. And so, the drawable area on the NES is smaller than 4x3, but it still draws 4x3 and then fills in the background with like whatever main background color.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's some technical stuff that we could go into to explain a bit more about why that happens. But the assertion was, from one person at least, that the pixels in the original version weren't square, which is plausible. So I want to research that, see if that's true or not, and then compare with some overlays NES captured footage versus NES Classic capture footage to see if there is a discrepancy. But I can say this much. I'm pretty sure the Pixel Perfect option, if it's not exactly right, is much closer than the stretched out 4x3.
But, I mean, there's definitely room that we could be wrong on this one. I really do think so. And I think that's really interesting because, I mean, you know me. I'm big on, like, the history of video games and, like, factoids and stuff like that. But there's two areas I lack. One of them is the technical, you know, ins and outs of what makes the game, you know, because some people, you know, they pick up a cartridge and I can tell you when it was made, what it's basically about, who the manufacturer was, and probably a couple facts. But there's other people who know what chips are in there. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? And,
exactly.
And what they do, how they, like, which sound chip is in there, which of the main, you know. And I wish I knew more of that kind of stuff, the technical ins and outs. I'm fascinated by the people who do know that. And the other thing that's a weakness for me is I am terrible at playing video games. That's possibly the one I want to fix earlier than the technical stuff. But regardless, I think by, you know, learning more about that, and if anyone is watching this video and has something to weigh in on it, we'd love to hear from you, because we do not mind being wrong.
Oh, well, we can't mind being wrong.
Because if we did mind being wrong, we would not do the. Do you remember the Vink was wrong segment we used to do on the podcast?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Until I stopped being wrong. I mean,
yeah,
I'm never wrong anymore.
That was a long
never
time wrong. Ago. No. oh boy. But yeah, so thanks to everyone who does comment. It's really kind of great that a lot of our viewers know more about this stuff than we do. Can you help us figure out how we can pull in the people who know less than we do?
Yes, we're looking to pull in an audience that we can feel a bit superior to.
Yeah,
because right now I think the majority of our audience is just humoring us. So
yeah, it's like, oh, it's so nice that they try.
Oh, isn't that cool? They got it about half right. look at how cute they are.
They think they
know about video games.
I really am embarrassed that I didn't even try to use the home button on the NES Classic. That is just unforgivable. I'm trying to do better.
The thing is, I mean, in the video, I make fun of you, like I knew or whatever, but I did. Like, I mean that. But I didn't figure it was anything I needed to say, because I thought it would just be obvious. Sorry, Sean.
Well, we're gonna use that joke for an upcoming video, which you're going to like very much.
Yes.
All right. So I think we should probably wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks for listening on the YouTube, if that's where you're listening to us. And I guess. Then, until next time, the dojo is?
The dojo is hoping that if you've made it this far into the podcast and haven't turned it off, that you've liked it enough to hit that like button right now. Because if not, you just wasted an hour. Come on. If you didn't like what you were doing, you're this far into it already, just hit that like button. You know what? No, don't stop there. Hit the bell. Hit the bell. Because we're gonna keep doing these whether you like them or not.
And boy, they sure don't seem to like them.
I've just listened to this podcast for an hour. Did I like it? Not enough to move my finger.
They must have YouTube Red.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, Famicom Dojo takes the bold step of insulting their audience. Oh, man. No, we love you guys. We really do. By the way, the comments we've been getting via Twitter, email, and stuff like that, some of you just, between all the comments expressing shock that we're, oh, you guys are still making videos? Yeah. The ones who realized that we were and are still following us, we've gotten some amazing feedback, and that's really what keeps us doing this.
Yep.
So it really is. So we really, really appreciate that.
We have lots of great stuff coming for the summer. Lots of new things, lots of special announcements. Where if you felt that the Spring Dojo was not up to your particular standards, there's a reason.
Yeah, there is. More on that later. More on that later. All right. So
we already did the dojo.
So until next time, the dojo is...
Oh, it's my turn? That's not fair.
Yep, it's your turn.
The dojo is shrunken down to a more manageable size for your HDTV and has a fixed amount of content. Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.